You're listening to FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FCUM Radio. FC Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Towards the goal! It's the United, Paul Armstrong.
First time shot comes in.
Jay Cottrell with a screamer!
I don't believe it!
An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In This Club Is My Club this week, we have all the reaction and interviews from FC United's league encounter with Nuneaton Town.
Hi, this is Ray Stubbs. You're listening to FCUM Radio.
Hello, I'm your host, Cockers, and welcome to This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. Very shortly, we'll be hearing how FC fared in their crucial league match against Nuneaton Town. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start this week's show with news that youth team coach Rodri Giggs will be standing down at the end of the month due to work commitments. We would like to wish Rodri well for the future. On to the first team, and Wednesday night was a good night for FC as Carl Margeson's men made it through to the semi-finals of this season's Manchester Premier Cup following a 3-1 win at Abbey Hay.
Kasimba Kazimba on his right foot crosses that ball in towards Anderson, who chests it towards Sam Sheridan. Sheridan lofts it over the top to Greaves, who's onside. 1-on-1.
Good finish.
Shoot.
Good goal.
What a
goal.
Finish.
Yeah. Great
Superb
goal.
Superb build-up play there by Anderson, who chests it off to Sam Sheridan, who played a lovely ball over the top, which Tom Greaves read perfectly, and the goalkeeper had no chance. 1-on-1. He slots it into the top corner. Done.
4 minutes on the clock.
Oh, that's a good turn there by Wolfe. Wolfe takes one player on, takes the second on, and comes in field with it. Keeps going, plays it to the right-hand side of the penalty box where Greaves is, and shoots!
2-0!
Good play there by Wolfe. Calm and composed all the way through the middle there.
Did well.
Plays it to the right-hand side, and Tom Greaves is in space again, and just slots it into the bottom
corner.
2-0.
10 minutes.
And it's now with Winter. Winter plays it out left to Jones, who plays it back in field to Winter. Winter now on his right foot, plays it to Williams, who lays it off to Sheridan. Sheridan now on this touchline. Plays a low cross, gets to Greaves, who shoots, corner, a hat-trick.
Oh, he did go in.
For Tom Greaves.
I thought it hit the post and come out there.
Straight into the top corner.
Into the top corner, yeah. Great finish, great turn and finish.
And at this point, Paul has got the stat up his sleeve. This is Tom Greaves.
Fourth hat-trick, I think.
See that? It's like he's properly trained.
Brilliant.
We'll have news on who FC have in the semi-finals in the coming weeks. And lastly for this week's news, the club is working with the Frost Foundation in December as FC United stage the very first FC United Toy Story on Saturday the 17th of December at the home match against Boston United. Between now and then, the club are asking all supporters to donate a toy which will be distributed to families and young people in need over the Christmas period. So please have a rummage through your cupboards and drawers at home and see if there are any toys in good condition that you could spare to donate to children and teenagers in need at Christmas. To the weekend's football now, and on Saturday afternoon, FC United hosted relegation battling Nuneaton Town. Here's Ben and Steve Wood's thoughts before kickoff.
So, welcome everyone to Broadhurst Park. It's 1:45 and remarkably, this match is on, which I think is all credit to Graham and the pitch designers.
Pitch designers at
Broadhurst Park, because seriously, it's some good drainage. Today we're here for the crucial game between FC United of Manchester and Nuneaton, one of a probably triple header that's going to happen, because there'll be a replay in the FA Trophy, you can guarantee it.
No.
So it's the first of a triple header, and it's the league today, and we're coming into this in good form. 2 wins out of 2.
Well, we'll take it, won't we?
Stephen Woods here.
We'll take it. Hello. Hello. Happy birthday, everybody. I was expecting cake. I've got a half-eaten sausage roll that I bought myself.
We've done some eye dents. I'll play
you
him. You
can't eat eye dents.
No, but you can savour them.
Very good. Yes, this is true. Anyway, yes, you're right. Yeah, 2 wins out of 2.
We said, oh, we'd have a pre-match chat. But actually, coming into this game, there's not much to talk about, really, because we had the experimental team last Saturday against Stalybridge. It transpired it was quite good. Although you can't really get too carried away because we were playing Stalybridge. But...
disparaging. You're right.
It did bode well. I mean, there was some cracking performances from Kieran Glynn. Sam Baird, we gave man of the match to. It was good.
It was, you're right. And I also gave Sam man of the match in my match report, if you read the website.
Now, Sam Baird had the benefit, I feel, of having Scotty Kay next to him, who is excellent wherever he plays. And he gives you a bit of assurance. I mean, we spoke to Jerome Wright a few weeks ago, and he was saying, when I feel low and down in the dumps on a football pitch, I look to Scotty Kay and Harry Winter to pick me up. And I think Scotty Kay, even though he doesn't say a lot on a football pitch, his actions speak louder than words. He is a mountain, a colossal performer on the pitch. And having that kind of player next to Sam Baird worked, in my humble opinion.
Okay.
It might be slightly different today with Ashley back.
It'll be completely different because Sam Baird's not playing.
Why?
Because it's the England school's trials.
For goodness sake, why are we even talking about him then?
Because you didn't give me a chance to get that in, although we were going to come to that in the preview of the match. I'm led to believe, seen it on Facebook, that he's not even here today, so he can't play.
Right, okay. So we've got Scotty Kay and Luke Ashworth at the back.
They actually played together the other week, didn't they, when Eckersley got brought off. Yes. and he went back. And I don't think they put... Actually, was it Bradford, if I remember right, which obviously wasn't...
My question...
I think they were probably... They didn't put particularly many together as a pair, even in that game. Much wrong.
My point about Ashley is... It's a bit unfair on Ashley, really, because I think the whole back four, regardless of who's in the back four... the confidence is low at the moment.
I like how they've embraced this mannequin challenge thing. Unfortunately, since it was from 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. But I've heard that earlier on today, that's why I thought I'd throw it in there.
Now, also coming into this game, that's our defence. Gilchrist has been, even though he's against Bradford, we got beat, he was still excellent in that game.
He played well.
He was excellent in the game before.
He was
excellent against Stalybridge last week. It feels like he should be starting now. That said, somebody put on Facebook about Tom Greaves getting a hat-trick. It was against Abbey Hay, admittedly. But
if we're going to play the same way as we always play, then to me, you don't change last Saturday's side. So you start with Gilchrist. You say Gilchrist had a great game last week. Actually, I thought he was quiet. I mean, he scored 2 goals, so you can't argue with that. I actually didn't think he played as well last week as he played in the previous 2 matches. However... he scored 2 goals. So actually, if not playing as well as he's done in the last couple of weeks and scoring 2 goals, I'm taking that all day long. He's one of those players, you can tell he's come from professional stock.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's been stop-start. He's started a couple of games. He's been on the bench. He's not come on. A new player in a club, really, you're not going to get a start unless you actually get starts, if that makes sense. Some would say playing both together.
It's an old argument.
Absolutely, he's not going to play that way, so there's no point. Yeah,
everyone knows the radio's feelings towards 4-4-2. Except you.
That it's a defunct formation at this level of football.
It adds up to 10, is what we're saying. Now, when it comes...
Oh, it does, doesn't it? Yeah, you don't cut the keeper, do you?
Now, getting into this match today, obviously, it's welcome the result against Stalybridge last weekend, undoubtedly. But it is still awfully tight down the bottom end of the table. Well, and even though we're in 13th position at the moment, the gap is only 7 points to the relegation zone, and Bradford Park Avenue all of a sudden have started winning, and not only winning, keeping clean sheets.
Yeah.
And
one.
Well, yeah, but it's a start.
If you're starting last week, yeah,
it's
absolutely
a start. Yeah. And now, and you know, you can look at Alti and you can write off Alti, and you can kind of almost write off Stalybridge Celtic if you'd like. But
based on last week, I would do. But
Bradford Park
Avenue, long way to go still.
Bradford Park Avenue are not going to be a team, I don't feel, or a football club with the backing they've got, are going to be a football club that's going to go down easily. And therefore, it's very, very important that we start to stretch our legs a bit.
Yeah.
Nuneaton, who we're playing today, they're fourth from bottom at the moment, and the gap is 4 points, and they have a game in hand. So, actually, this is equally as crucial as Stalybridge and Brad Park Avenue the week before.
Well, every game is. We said the other week that we had that run starting with Bradford, 7 matches up to New Year's Day. Every single one was vital. And Absolutely, today's no different whatsoever. It'd be interesting what happens with them, because obviously they sacked Kevin Wilson yesterday.
I was going to go to that.
Well, just, you know. You
I mean, that's the pressure. So
you don't know how they're going to react. It could completely galvanise the players, or they could be completely demoralised. You don't know. I mean,
it's a curious appointment as well that they've got in Tommy Wright, who was at Corby Town.
Hmm.
And Corby Town, he left Corby Town this season with them pretty much second from bottom in the Northern Premier League.
Mm.
And it's not been the best. He went to Nuneaton to coach, essentially, and now he's manager.
Yeah, I'm glad we know to come back on that. You're right, you're all factually correct there. But they've kept some continuity, because they've obviously got Steve Chettle, who stayed on, mm-hmm. who was Kevin's.
But he's an odd one, isn't it? Because Kevin Wilson, calibre-wise, he's a cracking manager. Obviously, Nuneaton's had a difficult start to the season.
But I think what tends to happen, and he's done it with Ilkeston, is he works very much with the youth players. So we saw what happened to Ilkeston a couple of years ago. They brought all these youth lads in. They sold Chi Adams on to Sheffield United, and he's obviously done well. He got sacked from there, or he left there. I think he got sacked, actually, in the end. The old mutual consent, whenever it was, a couple of seasons ago. With them not being as successful as they look like they were going to be at one point, Ilkeston, you know, they've done well, haven't they? And it looks like history repeats itself here. I think Nuneaton, I don't know if they're full-time per se, but I think they're one of these sides who train during the week, and they've got a lot of young lads in the side. So it seems like history sort of repeats itself a little bit. He's brought a lot of young lads through, and maybe that's his job done again, and it's time to move on to somebody else. I don't know.
It's interesting.
And the only reason I said that is because I noticed on the website yesterday, they said that Tommy Wright and Chettle was taking yesterday's training, so I assume that they trained yesterday. So
the thing is about that, if we could just go off on one about Nuneaton, Hensford job was up last week, and it's gone to somebody else, and you'd think that was ideal for Kevin Wilson, which is, I think, to me, it suggests that it was out the blue, as an appointment goes. Anyway, it's going to be an interesting one today, Stephen, who's now eating a sausage roll. You could take the boy out of Lee.
Very nice sausage roll.
Yeah, they are. But Stephen Wood, thank you for joining us, and we'll be hearing from you next week before that match against Nuneaton in the FA Trophy.
This. I'm going to leave you with the question for that. What's more important, today or next week?
Next week. No, next week.
Why?
Because, let me tell you.
I know. I think I know what you're going to say. Go on.
No, actually, Wednesday was important.
Okay.
Because it's very important that this club has a cup final to go to this season, of all seasons. And also, this club would benefit greatly, not just from the revenue that a cup run brings, but also a nice away trip to the likes of Torquay United. It brings the club together.
I know, I was hoping for Stocksbridge away, and then we got Nuneaton at home, so you don't always get what you wish for.
I would like Stocksbridge away.
But, no, I mean, it's an interesting question. I think both...
Hey, don't ask me, ask the listener. Get in touch. Let us know what you think.
Yeah.
Trophy or league or Premier Cup. Who knows?
I wasn't even ringing that into the conundrum. But go for it. Anyway, pleasure, cheer, yada yada.
Ben and Steve Wood there, speaking before Saturday's big match between FC United and Nuneaton Town. And to find out now if FC United could take all 3 points in this crucial six-pointer, it's over to Marv Willers for a match report. Marv.
Thank you, Cockers. 3 wins in a row? No problem. Come on, FC. United hoped the radio team celebrate their 10th birthday by taking all 3 points on Saturday at home with Nuneaton Town visiting in front of 2,313 attendees. First half goals from Kieran Glynn and Jerome Wright were followed by Luke Ashworth getting the winner. Jerome Wright did miss a first half penalty, but nothing will take the shine off what was a solid performance for FC, a clean sheet and a third win on the bounce. Here's the goals.
Straight down the middle it goes. Daniels is going to win that flick on. No, Ashworth, good header there. Gets the ball to Brown, who plays it to Wintu, plays it out to his left-hand side where Jerome Wright is. Jerome Wright plays the ball forward. Well left by Glynn. Gets to Gilchrist. Gilchrist now. Jerome Wright carries his run forward. Gets to the byline on the left side. Plays the ball back to Glynn. Glynn shoots! Oh! And what a goal from Kieran Glynn. Superb stuff there from Jerome Wright, from Gilchrist, from Glynn. From everyone, really. A superb work goal, and on 18 minutes, FC United are 1-0 up. Paul?
Yeah, that was a nice bit of interplay. We won the ball in midfield. We switched it well to the left-hand side. Jerome made a good run, got the ball when he wanted it, just inside the box, and he's cut back. It was controlled by Glynn, and he pirouetted before finding the top corner. Nice finish.
And it was all Jerome Wright, that... the initial pass to get it to the forwards was from Jerome Wright, but then to have the cleverness to just carry his run forward and get to the byline and drive it and then play the ball back, it was excellent and a cracking finish.
Good composure from Glenn, his second goal in successive games, so he's beginning to find his feet.
Flick on there by Kieran Glynn, gets it to Thompson, plays it to his left hand side for Jerome Wright, and slots it to the back this time. And that is 2-0 now to FC United. A well worked goal on the far side there by Kieran Glynn, gets it to Thompson plays a lovely ball to Jerome Wright at the left hand side of the penalty box, and he puts it into the far corner. 2-0.
The magic left foot of Jerome gets it right this time. He just steered it inside the post. It was obviously Dibble lad didn't have a chance at all, but it was a nice finish, and Jerome has probably forgotten his penalty miss now briefly. Matter of what, 2 minutes after the penalty, he stuck one in.
And we were saying in the This Comes My Club build up, which you can hear on the podcast tomorrow, about how the confidence is a bit low in the FC United defence. I would suggest, based on the way Nuneaton's defence are playing at the minute, their defence is very low on confidence.
They've not won since September the 24th.
Here's Jerome Wright now. Gets that ball back, crosses that ball in, it just beats Tom Brown, and Keane can clear it. But there's no blue shirts challenging that ball, and here's Winter now. Winter plays it to the right hand side where Tong is. Tong has got loads of time to pick a spot, crosses the ball in. Oh, it's just before he gets to Ashworth, but Thompson gets the second ball. He's on his left foot, he shoots, he's deflected, gets to Ashworth!
Well, Steve Bruce has done it again.
Slots it into the bottom corner, and FC United 3-0 up now, and that's probably good night.
Yeah, opportunism from Ashworth up for the corner. Hung around basically, didn't he? And the ball dropped to him, and bang.
The defending again. It was just so much room to pick a spot, and Ashworth was just there in loads of space.
Yeah, he's eighth of the season, I think.
So on 56 minutes, it's FC United now 3-0 up against Nuneaton, and it looks like it's going to be a good weekend for FC United. And that, dear listeners, full time here at Broadhurst Park. FC United coming into this game against Nuneaton. We said it was a crucial match, one of several crucial matches now up to New Year. And like last week, we've passed the test. We've got another 3 points against a team who I would consider to be battling with us to stay away from the relegation zone. 3-0 FC United victors against Nuneaton Town. Two of the goals coming in the first half, a third coming in the second half. And it's just been a great afternoon.
Yeah. If we take away the missed penalty, the save penalty I probably should say, from Jerome Wright, we had other chances. Could have been six today. I don't think Nuneaton really threatened that much in terms of scoring a goal today. Christian Dibble made some good stops in the Nuneaton goal. It was a game where we did enough to win, but we didn't have an opposition today that tested us the way we've been tested in other games this season.
It's going to be an interesting one for Nuneaton. Obviously Nuneaton come into this with the manager departing let's be generous, 48 hours ago. It's probably 24 if the truth be known. And they've come into this game, Tommy Wright's been promoted from coach to manager. He's managed Corby Town, so it's not too much of a leap, but there's a lot of problems here at Nuneaton, isn't there?
Yeah, that's seven games now without a win. You can see why they're giving goals away. Some very basic errors they made. They did make it easy for us at times. And in the second half, the ball was whizzing around the Nuneaton box without an end product for most of the time. But they were good. It was a good team performance from FC today, I thought. It wasn't an outstanding player. We had some good performances. No real standouts.
Oh, Paul, I'm going to name the standouts for you. You ready?
Well, go on then.
Okay. For starters, Harry Winter. Winter has been dogged, determined. He's been an absolute colossus in midfield this afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, to me, he just plays the same every game. It's not that you can take him for granted, but he puts in a shift. And he wins so many balls that he shouldn't really win. Partly through reputation, perhaps. I thought Jerome Shum on the left-hand side.
Yes, absolutely. Thompson on the right as
made
well.
A goal, scored a goal. Could have had another from the penalty spot. Gilchrist up front. Tireless performance from Gilchrist without a goal today.
And Glynn.
Glynn,
is a player of great talent. Certainly his first touch, the way he beats people, he certainly deserves a run in the side. You've got to say Scott Kay as well at the back, holding it all together. We look a little bit more organised with Scott Kay, holding it all together, I think.
These are important matches in the league season. It's vital that we stay clear of the Bradford Park Avenues, and we let the likes of Nuneaton Town enjoy that play that they're going to have with them, and we just stay in mid-table and just be happy with that and content with that, and deal with what's coming next week, and that's the FA Trophy. And we've said on Red Rebel Radio this week that a trophy run, the finances is great, obviously, but I'm thinking Torquay United away.
Yeah.
The atmosphere in that game and the build-up to it, the supporters need that this season.
We need a kind of bit of a feel-good touch to the season, and the FA Cup run didn't really come off, but a good run in the trophy could build up the crowds a bit, give us some revenue. Who knows how far it could go if the draw's kind to us. I think drawing Nuneaton at home, to me, when I heard the draw, I thought it was a good draw for us. I thought it was a winnable match, and I still think it's a very winnable match.
Well, a supporter from Nuneaton's got in touch with us on Twitter, said Nuneaton have won 5 games in the FA Trophy since the 95-96 season. 3 of those were in 1 season. I wouldn't worry. And that is worrying. Firstly, I've not fact-checked that to make sure it's true. But also,
we all know what happens in cup competitions, and the surprise element is always there to trip you up. So, obviously, next week we start again at 0-0. Nuneaton might grab an early goal, and it could be a completely different match. So, we can't read too much into today. But what we have seen of Nuneaton, I think there is certainly potential there to score goals against them.
We can't also rule out that, you know, Tommy Wright's he's obviously coached this team now for a month. He's been part of the coaching staff, so he does know the players. But they are going to be a bit more solid next week after he's had a week with them, I'd imagine.
I don't think he'll pick the same starting 11.
Well, clearly, with the substitution that he made.
Yes, I think he's obviously changed his mind many times during the game. It's a tough one. But yes, the FA Trophy is important to us in terms of making progress. Obviously, we've got the Manchester Premier Cup. We've not got our cup final suits yet booked, have we? We're waiting to see what the draw is.
Waiting to see.
Before we start dressing up.
I'm sure Swampy's going to look very dapper.
Yes, he always does. I mean, he goes through a season of outfits, doesn't he?
That's right. And speaking of Swampy, and speaking of well, just this radio station, this is the 10th year of FCUM Radio. We celebrated it yesterday, and it's been full on today, this afternoon. We should say a big thank you to you, dear listener, on the Armchair Army for your support over the years. We cover it on Red Rebel Radio. There was a season where, I think it was the second season, where it was looking, because internet radio now, you can get them every ground, but back then it was quite pioneering what Paul Spensley and Mike Kerwin was doing. And, you know, there was a time where it was really, is it popular? Is it worth continuing? And Swampy and Keg, they did a Swampy-thon. I remember watching it, and it was one of them things. And you, Armchair Army, raised the money and gave the volunteers at that time the belief to continue this. And that was 8 years ago. And we've come a long way in 8 years. You know, the glory days of those lost years of where you turn up at the North West Counties, Keg Bryan and Swampy, half intoxicated, with Paul Spencer with all this gear, big crates of electric gear and bags of wires, to where we are now. It's been a hell of a journey, and everyone connected with the station, you should be very proud, and all the listeners at home, a big, big thank you for what you've done.
And all the people that have helped with the commentary over the years that we haven't been named today, but who've slipped in into the picture and out of the picture again.
Okay, I'll name them. Roy and Sam. Roy and Sam were the first ones to ever commentate on FC Radio back at Salford, with a very highly, what's the word, very fast-speaking Swampy back then. He's learned to control his pace of delivery. And then, obviously, there's Brian, there's James, there's Keg, there's Emily. Pace has done a couple of commentaries. I think Rob Fuller's done a couple. Stephen Wood, obviously, yourself, Paul, Marv's done a couple, bizarrely. And Emily, I've started naming people, and I can't remember if I've named everyone.
But for anybody who's not been named, you've not been forgotten.
Yes, we love you. So, where next for the station? I don't know. I'll tell you where. Next week, FA Trophy, Nuneaton Town. And we'll be there covering it live. And hopefully, James and Emily will be here commentating. And just to let you all know about Swampy, if you've not heard the news, Swampy's back. He's back permanently in December. So all those leaving gifts you gave him and all that fanfare was a waste of time.
Make sure you get him back.
as a member of the unofficial forum would say, no refunds. So there you go. I'm tempted to end with the Marv song, but I'm not going to. Finished here, FC United 3-0 winners against Nuneaton Town in the league. Happy days. Thank you, dear listener, for all your support over the last 10 years. Thank you to all the volunteers, not just on the football side, but the music side and all the community stuff as well. There's so much gone on over the last 10 years. But my personal thanks, I need to put this on the record. It was Mike Kerwin and Paul Spencer's baby. And what a baby it's become.
Yes, it's still growing.
It's still growing. So this has been FC Live, brought to you by ConstructiveCoding.com. As always, back in FC UM Radio. And you lovely people, the Armchair Armour. This has been FC Live.
FC Live there from Saturday afternoon. After the match, Ben caught up with FC United manager Carl Margeson for his post-match thoughts.
Well, thank you, Carl, for joining us after that. We billed it as a really important game, one of several up to New Year, and like Staleybridge last week, we passed with flying colours.
Yeah, we're looking to build on what we started, you know, last week against Staleybridge. We kind of had a good chat after the Bradford game and realised that we, you know, we were letting ourselves down. So the lads have been absolutely fantastic, really responsive to what we've kind of asked them to do, and I think you're seeing that, you know that come out on the pitch, the commitment, the togetherness, everything.
You talk about commitment. There's a couple of things which have just clicked over the last couple of games. Harry Winter has been dominant all season, but he's gone up a notch, I feel, over the last couple of games, and that then passes on to people like Kieran Glynn and the flair players like Wright and Thompson. Yeah. And they all four of them today have worked so well together, I think.
Yeah. I think Harry's... he doesn't go unnoticed because of his character and stuff like that. But the work that he puts in is invaluable to be able, like you say, to enable your likes of George Thompson, your Kieran Glynn's, your Jason Gilchrist, your Jerome Wright, Tommy Greaves, all the lads who take the plaudits for scoring goals. They need a foundation, and Harry provides that.
The other thing he does is bring cover to the defence, and that leads me then to Scotty Kay. The defence for the last, well, all season, it's been like a running theme, hasn't it? The confidence has been low in a lot of the players. And the last two games, particularly today, with Kay there, Ashworth has been...
Well, they all have. The thing you get with Scott Kay is real quality. Because
he's not vocal, is he? It's his persona that he brings to the table.
He's vocal when he needs to be. He doesn't do things for effect. He does things because it's real. You know, in my mind, I think he's a league footballer. I really do. I think he's possibly... was round about the Manchester City team and stuff like that a little bit too early. If he was there now, I'm sure he'd be playing, you know, whether it be at that level, definitely at Football League level, because he's quality. He does his job unnoticed. The only people who notice him is his teammates, and I think you'll see that when you know, when they start dishing out the awards for players Player of the Year and things like that.
That's not for you to decide. Don't start influencing it. But it's a clean sheet, and we've not had them in a while, and that's good stuff. The forward line, we've got Gilchrist, and he's been... even when we played Gloucester and Bradford, he was still standout Gilchrist. Yeah. And obviously Gilchrist is making number nine his own, but you've got this added pressure now, and I've noticed it on social media, that Tom Greaves is chasing into that 100-goal tally. How are you going to manage all this? Because you've got... And we saw it in midweek against ABA. Arneson looks quality. Yeah. He just needs to get his fitness up. Yep. And you've got the likes of Harry Pratt just sitting there as well. So...
Yep, cheers.
What I'm saying is you need to start playing two strikers. That's what we're saying. But anyway.
We'll see. I think what we've seen is a system working well. It does provide the right kind of football that we want to we want to watch. So, like I say, buzzing with everything. I think there's been a lot of time spent over the past year or so with you know, like in the doldrums, if you like, and we need to get that FC United buzz factor back.
And we've picked up on that. There was a question asked by Keg before the match went out earlier. Would you take staying in the league or an FA Trophy run? And I said, you know what?
Both.
Well, yeah, both, obviously. But the FA Trophy, I'm just thinking back to Torquay United away, yeah, and the build-up to it, mm-hmm, and the atmosphere of that game.
Yep.
Club needs that kind of runner feel.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah. You know, our away form's been pretty good this year. So, you know, that's one of the things that I've noticed on the road when the fans have travelled and we've been able to provide the right kind of performance, if you like. It shows a real strength of the football club, of us all being together as one.
So what we came up with was that we're going to finish mid-table, we're going to get at least the quarterfinals of the trophy, and we want to win the Manchester Premier Cup. So if you can sort that out, that'd be great. I think that's a good season.
Yeah, you said it quickly as well, didn't you?
I just thought I'd throw it out there. Anyway, Cal, congratulations again, mate. Obviously, we've got this lot again, Nuneaton on Saturday in the FA Trophy. It's a very important game. Obviously, it's been a very interesting period of the last couple of days at Nuneaton. Tommy's a good manager. He's going to have his feet more under the table next week,
course,
so it's going to be a
different
proposition.
You know, I'm sure they'll use the loss today as a bit of an inspiration for a performance next week. So,
well, congratulations, Carl.
Cheers,
and pass on my thanks to all the players as well. Superb afternoon, that.
Nice one.
Carl Margeson there to find out where that result leaves FC United in the league table. And for all the other results in the National League North, it's now time to hand back over to Marv Willers for another edition of Marv's Sports Report.
Thank you, Cockers, and welcome everybody to this week's Marv's Sports Report with me, Marv. And with those 3 points on Saturday, FC United have moved up the table and now sit in 12th position, 7 points clear of the relegation zone. Higher up the table, and AFC Fylde moved 4 points clear at the top in emphatic fashion on Saturday. The Coasters hammered Boston United 9-2 at Mill Farm. That is 9-2. To make it an even better afternoon for AFC Fylde, they returned to the dressing room to hear that second place Darlington had been beaten by lowly AFC Telford United by 2-0. Chorley leapfrogged Darlington into second place after a 4-1 win against playoff-chasing Gloucester at Victory Park. Tamworth, they came back from behind to secure their fifth successive win against second-bottom Stalybridge Celtic at The Lamb to move into fourth spot. Kidderminster Harriers complete the top five after a comfortable 3-0 home win against the now fifth-bottom Gainsborough Trinity. FC Halifax Town are sixth after losing an amazing game at the Tameside Stadium against Curzon Ashton, who finished the game with only 8 men. Salford City maintained their challenge for a top 5 spot with a 3-0 Moorlane victory over Worcester. Brackley also maintained their challenge with a 2-1 win against Harrogate. Meanwhile, Stockport County were looking for a victory at Edgeley Park against lowly Bradford Park Avenue that would push them back up towards the playoff places, while bottom makers Altrincham threw away all 3 points in the game, which they dominated until the final quarter of an hour at the Impact Arena against Alfreton, losing 3-2 in the end. And that concludes this week's Marv's Sports Report with me, Marv. Cheerio.
Thanks, Marv. FC United make their debut in this season's FA Trophy this weekend with a home tie against the aforementioned Nuneaton Town. It's a 3 p.m. kickoff this Saturday at Broadhurst Park, so get yourself to that football ground. But if you cannot make the game, then have no fear. The FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air on Saturday afternoon from 2:30 p.m. right here on your very own FCUM Radio.
FCUM Radio. FC and Music United.
Hello, you. Listener. dear, sweet listener, without whom none of this would mean anything. It's an easy thing to say that, but less easy to really mean it. 10 years ago, some enthusiastic fools arrived at Salford with just a big bag of wires and a phone, and somehow, despite the year being only 2006, these legends of broadcasting took FCUM Radio to the air for the first time, and now, here we are, 10 years later. Sven-Göran Eriksson was in charge of England 10 years ago. Richard Hammond nearly died 10 years ago. And did you know that on the same day this station launched in 2006, the first modern, solely Gaelic medium school to offer secondary education was opened at Woodside in Glasgow? I'm not even kidding. But the point is that it is 10 years later and you're all still listening. And you're even growing in number. It's been a sensational run and we'd like to just officially thank a few fine folk. Thanks to the guys that got this all started. Without you, we wouldn't be here. To every single one of our 100-plus volunteers that we've had over the years, who've just been incredible, producing, honestly, such high-quality content for such little recognition. The variety, the eccentricity, the genuinely magical commentaries. Without you, we wouldn't be here right now. To our listeners and our any donators that we've had, to our armchair army, thank you. Just thank you. The money you've donated has meant that we've been able to pay all of our bills over the years. And that might sound trite, but it really is fantastic. Your support and interaction with the station and its volunteers is 100% what drives the station on. To Aidan, Claire and ConstructiveCoding.com, our sponsors, our saviours. For no reason at all, you chose to believe in us. And more than that, you continue to believe in us to this very day. You encouraged us to be creative and do things in our own way, and we've strived to do so ever since. And obviously, thanks to FC United, who, let's be honest, could have stopped this all years ago. I'll leave it there. We didn't want to go on too long. We just wanted to thank a few people. But we are thrilled and proud in equal measure to have got to our 10th birthday. Producing radio for FC United has always been and continues to be an absolute privilege. And thank you for listening.
Hello, I'm Vince Atta, and if I'm not wearing my jester's hat, snuggled up under my Ryan Giggs duvet cover, I'm listening to FC United Radio.
Hello, I'm Wilf McGuinness, and welcome to everybody, and all the best to FC United. Radio especially.
Hi, we're the FC United ladies, and you're listening to FCUM Radio.
I'm Doe from the show with no name on FCUM Radio, FC and Community United.
Hi, my name's Mick Ferry, you're listening to FCUM Radio, or for come for short.
Hi, I'm Alan Gowling. Don't worry, it'll all be over by Christmas. You're listening to FCUM Radio.
Hiya, I'm Maxine Peake, and you're listening to the wonderful FC United Radio.
Hi, I'm Roy Sewell, and you're listening to FCUM Radio.
Hello, this is John Champion. You're listening to FC United Radio.
Hi, this is Ray Stubbs. You're listening to FCUM Radio.
So this past weekend saw the 10th anniversary of FCUM Radio, and before kick-off on Saturday, Ben caught up with legendary broadcaster Keg to reminisce about those early years of FCUM Radio.
Happy birthday to FCUM Radio, and joining me now to discuss the implications of FCM Radio reaching its 10th birthday, we're now joined by one of the legends of FCM Radio broadcasting over the years. You've been on today. Right. Kegworth. Hello, Keg. How's things?
I'm very well, thank you.
I've got the wrong one.
10 years and you've not forgotten how to twiddle the knobs.
It's kind of appropriate. It was appropriate to get the wrong levels. 10 years. We speak on Rebel Radio this week about the lost years, because they are lost years in that the fact that nobody recorded them, and also everyone was drunk.
Do you do that now? Do you record stuff?
We record everything.
Right. I just call that evidence.
But the thing, exactly, that's what's... Nothing's been kept. Up to 2009, there's nothing. And
that's probably for the best, and honestly.
And again, that's what Swampy said. He said we'd probably be sued. And we'd have to send out apologies and flowers to people and that kind of thing. What's your favourite memory of those lost years?
Swamper? That's a big question.
I did tell you in advance I was going to ask you.
You did tell me you were going to ask me stuff, yeah. Things that stick out in my mind. Wakefield away, the first third season, something like that. I do. That sticks out in my mind because that was for a number of reasons. I remember it being Grand National weekend and Swampy turning up after quite a heavy night out the night before.
Yeah.
And you know what he's like
on one.
Properly on one, but quite snappy with it. So that we spent sort of most of the afternoon, me and Brian, just winding him up. And also, we got there and found there was no power. I don't think you've probably ever been to Wakefield's ground since. Well, we got there, and I remember that he was either the chief steward or the groundsman or something. Said, I know what we'll do. He dragged us down to the far end of the ground, and bear in mind we had that big flight box at the time. But I don't think we really needed a 32-channel mixer or anything in them days.
We've still got the. In fact, it's downstairs in the office. The mixing desk still exists in the big box.
Yeah.
And it's crackers. I don't understand why we carried that around with us. And also...
Everything went in it.
The snake.
Yes,
Tell everyone about the bloody snake.
The snake was all the wires, from what I remember.
It was just... It was this. See this box here with the headphone splitters?
Yep.
That's what the snake was.
Yep.
Essentially, it was just something to plug the headphones into.
We were very much a make-it-up-as-you-go-along kind of situation. And if it could be made, Paul Spencer didn't make it at home the night before.
It was great.
Yeah, anyway, back to it. Yes. So we were dragged down the other end of the ground at Wakefield, and this guy said to us, either his mum or his nan lived in the last house on the street that backed onto the ground. So we hopped over the fence, knocked on her kitchen door. Can we use your power, missus? She opened a kitchen window. We ran the power lead from her kitchen through her garden, over the fence and into the ground.
You see, we jokingly said that on the shindig about the Willows one, but that... I remember that did actually happen.
Brilliant. But that was also, we did get tea and sandwiches as well provided as part of that deal, which we couldn't be more thankful. Thank you. I'd still thank you, Wakefield, for that one. That's one that sticks out.
But in those early days, it was kind of, we touched upon it there, it was kind of make up as you go along.
Oh, yeah. You didn't know what you were going to get at each ground you went to.
It's kind of accepted now that it's actually in the league rules. If you've got your own internal radio station, as long as you agree with the opponent club, you'll get a place on a press bench and everything.
Well, we're much higher up now in the echelons.
That goes for the NPL as well and the North West Counties. There's radio stations down that level. I mean, what you lot did in those first few years was very pioneering.
Yeah, in many ways.
And, you know, it was kind of make it up as you go along. And that punk DIY ethos, it was glorious.
I think... Things that stick out in my mind that we started doing that I don't think I heard anywhere else were the fact that you could interact with the commentators live during the game. I don't remember having that. You can do that on many radio stations now, more mainstream stuff than us. But I don't remember anyone ever being able to do that during a game live on the radio ever before. I think we pioneered that.
Definitely. The text message service.
Yeah.
I remember when Question Time started doing it, it was like... old that, but the other thing is as well, not just that, but we've done phone-ins in the past, but the original phone-ins were done at Paul's house, if you remember.
Yes.
You probably don't remember this because you were drunk, but I remember watching it on television on the internet.
That was my one of my ideas. That was a top afternoon, sending Gary Selvage around with tasks to do.
My God, that's a different one. That was no football on a Saturday.
Yes, that was.
And you sent him off to the Midland, I think, or the Hilton.
We sent him off to the Central Library to photograph. Well, I thought whether it was part of his anatomy, and he had to come back with the photocopy afterwards and show it us to prove he'd done it. And he came back, but at the I think it was the Free Trade Hall Hotel, whatever that one's called,
Radisson.
Radisson.
Yes.
And he came back and he walked in at the end of the programme, just wearing the bathrobe and the shower cap that he got from the hotel, and a bag full of other stuff.
And this is the other thing as well. That kind of... I mean, somebody would do a documentary if that was Channel 4 in the 80s and go, oh, look at how pioneering Channel 4 was. I think that only had 20 viewers at the time watching that.
I remember.
I was one of them, but...
I do remember we put out some requests in the weeks before for people to send in, I think it was food and drink or something, because we had people listening from all over the world. I don't know what your listening profile's like now, but we had to start, for some reason, cured reindeer meat springs to mind of stuff. And we sat there, I can't remember who it was with, and we sat there and tried to eat these various things and drinks that we were sent over the previous
Sam
weeks.
Was
that
there.
Was something else we did.
Sam was there next to a cardboard cutout of a...
Was it R2-D2 or no, it a Jawas?
Yeah, it was a Jawa.
The little hooded
thing. Yeah. Right next to him.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. But all great. Done at Box TV in town.
And that's the other thing as well. I mean, people like Paul Spencer and Mike, I mean, you could talk about bring your own ball and that kind of thing, but that pioneering spirit that they brought to it, and yourself and Swampy and Brian brought, it led on to things like an actual TV show
on Channel M,
and going home and away to these Northwest Counties grounds, essentially, and the camaraderie and bringing the terraces, the original audio fanzine.
I'd go along with that. I think there were some very I do remember where we actually carted that flight case to Stockholm for the but the thing is, you see, we got there. You're asking about my memories of the earlier days. Right, I remember sitting in the TV gantry at the Olympic Stadium in Stockholm thinking, this is crazy, because this was the stadium where Pelé scored the goal in the World Cup final in 1958. And here we are watching FC United in the TV gantry doing this madness. I remember us turning up with a kit. We'd carted it on the underground across Stockholm. We got there and we spoke to the management team at the time, and the club officials went, "Oh, hiya, we didn't know you were coming." I went, "Brilliant. That's the level of communication we're working with. Thanks very much. We've carted this 1,000 and odd miles and you didn't even know."
But that's the other thing as well. Because you've got all that gear, no one's going to argue with you.
No.
They're not going to go, you're taking the mick. No, we've got all the gear here. Yeah. All the gear.
We looked dead. Where we looked, we walked the walk, shall we put it that way.
I remember Rochdale away. And I remember, I think you were there with us outside the Garrett. And it was that night we basically requested 12 press passes. Because everyone who was involved in the station and TV went to this game under the auspices of we're going to be doing the broadcasting for FC United.
Yeah.
And we were there outside the Garrett with all this gear and all these volunteers. And it was like a crew, like a posse.
Yeah. Mm. I think Chase Town away. That was because we quite regularly ran situations where clubs could be quite hostile to us because every man and his dog would try to blag in as part of the media team. And I think Chase Town was the record where I think one of the stewards mentioned 27 people.
So 10 years, it's been great. Keg's now doing the commentary on FCM TV.
Yep.
And, you know, the pair of us, FCM TV, I think he's slightly older than FC Radio, I think it is. By about 6 months.
Well, I actually came in to FCM Radio about the third game or something like that they did. I was dared to do it by Brian originally.
But I think the thing was, Swampy had already done FCM TV commentary.
Yeah.
And Mike basically went, that's too much, mate. That's too quick.
Yeah.
We'll set up a radio station for you. How's that? And that's I think what happened. I think that was the conversation anyway. But Keg, it's been cracking having you back on. Talk about memories of FC Radio over the 10 years.
A pleasure. Like you say, once you start talking about it, the memories come flooding back. Thanks. I must say thanks to... I know Roger's left the club.
Yes.
Hasn't he, this week? Ironically, Roger was my first ever co-commentator. Witten Albion away, it was freezing. On my first... So me and Roger... Roger, he wasn't the most talkative guy.
No.
Difficult to do your first commentary with him. Happy days.
And I should say...
deep end.
I'm commentating today.
Yeah.
My first commentary was with you, Keg.
It probably was.
It was Mosley away in the... It was either the Manchester Premier Cup or the Dudeson.
It was a Wednesday night.
It was a Wednesday night. Cold. It was bloody freezing.
Yeah. Yes,
and that just was like first today. Commentary.
What goes around comes around.
And a happy 10th birthday to everyone connected with FCUM Radio. And that's it from me for this week's show. You can hear this show on Monday and Tuesday this week at 7:30 a.m, 12:30 and 7 p.m. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store. And all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUM Radio. Thanks to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening. And from me, Cockers, see you next time.